log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
قرآن كويست يس بليز.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركة.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي.
آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركة.
تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming to our program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
We're on chapter 19. We're talking about the discussion between Abraham and his uncle. Abraham inviting his uncle and his uncle refusing. Let's listen to these verses, verses 47 onwards, and we will be back for the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قال سلام عليك سأستغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا.
Abraham said, "Peace will be upon you. I will ask forgiveness for you of my Lord. Indeed, he is ever gracious to me." And I will leave you and those you invoke other than Allah, and will invoke my Lord. I expect that I will not be an invocation to my Lord unhappy.
وكلا جعلنا
So when he had left them and those they worshipped other than Allah, we gave him Isaac and Jacob, and each of them we made a prophet.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا.
And we gave them of our mercy, and we made for them a reputation of high honor.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 47 onwards of chapter 19, chapter Mary of the Holy Quran. So basically, Abraham invites his father very respectfully to leave, abandon idol worshipping, because there's absolutely no use, no benefit from idol worshipping, and God subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one God, deserves to be worshipped. His uncle responds very aggressively, but Abraham remains respectful up to verse 47. On verse 48, Abraham says, I disassociate myself from you and whatever you invoke besides Allah. I will supplicate my Lord. Hopefully, I will not be disappointed in supplicating my Lord. I think every single sentence here is important. So let's start with the first one. I disassociate myself from you and whatever you invoke besides Allah. He's saying this to his uncle, who is an idol worshipper.
Yeah, and here, of course, it's also like, you want me to abandon you? Fine, I'll abandon you. It's not a problem for me. I'll abandon you. And of course, al-i'tizal, or to abandon, sometimes you have to abandon not only with your body.
You shouldn't isolate yourself just with your body.
You also have to isolate them with your hearts. And we have this, like, there are people living with us with their hearts, always available with you with my heart. That means that I'm always thinking about you, I'm always with you, I'm always following you, you know, that kind of meaning. And here Abraham is stating that I will abandon you and whatever you worship. So I'm not going to be nothing from close to you, bodily speaking, with my body, and from also my mental aspect, my spiritual aspect. I'm far away from you and I'm abandoning you.
And he does that only after he's delivered the invitation, not before.
Yeah, of course.
And then he says, I will supplicate my Lord. Hopefully I will not be disappointed in supplicating my Lord. Can people be disappointed from supplicating God?
And what kind of... of course, you have to look at the meaning of shaqiyya. The meaning of shaqiyya, of course, has been translated. That's one of the translations of it. Another translation for it can be... It could be also translated into loss, like, so I don't, because of me being close to you, I will always be able to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without you guys making fun of me, without you guys bullying me and harassing me. So that means I will abandon you, thus I can pray, I could worship Allah, I could do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how I want. So there are two meanings. So that's the first. The second meaning is, you know, okay, it's clear. The first meaning that you stated in translation is, yes, sometimes we could be disappointed.
But we're going to have to keep that for after the break.
Exactly.
Let's keep that for after the break. Stay tuned.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 48 of chapter 19, chapter Mary, where Abraham's uncle has threatened to kill him and told him to go away because of inviting him to abandon idol worshipping and worship the one God instead, Abraham is saying, fine, if you want me to go, I will leave, but I will continue on my path. I will supplicate to God. But then he says, I hope I will not be disappointed in supplicating my God. So before the break, you said that some people believe that it means that I won't be hurt because of supplicating my God, hurt by you guys. But there's also a second meaning. Please explain the second meaning.
That's what's available in the translation that you stated, that I won't be disappointed. And here Abraham is going to running after actions that will cause him to be successful of what he prays in or what he prays for. And of course, we can be sometimes, yes, disappointed with what we pray for. And of course, disappointed.
Also, he means that I'm worried that I might pray for something and it won't be accepted. Is that what he means?
That's what the translation, that what I understood from the translation of that verse, actually.
And in the next verse, he says, so when he had left them and what they worshiped besides Allah, we gave him Isaac and Jacob, and each we made a prophet. Is this Abraham's prize for bravely and with full determination abandoning idol worship?
Yes. Now, see, every human being, whether we state and we make memes about it and make fun of it and that we are invokes, like the person likes to, you know, stay by himself and doesn't know how to communicate with society. So we make fun that we're like introverts and we are becoming introverts. We don't like to communicate with human beings and whatnot, but that's not true. That's not the reality of it. When we look at ourselves truly, we cannot live without a partner. We cannot live without family. We cannot live without friends, you know, and that is why loneliness brings in depression, and depression is something bad. Thus, we are people that like to, you know, be in society. Here, Abraham is abandoning his society, abandoning his people. Why? Because he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's preaching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him and replace him with something much better. And how did he replace him with? He is the sheikh or the big or the, you know, the elderly or the chief of prophets. Not only that, he is the father of prophets, either from the Ishaq side, which is the Isaac side, right, and from the Ismail side as well.
You said that introverts. You meant that introvertism to a level of full isolation from society and other human beings. You meant that is contradictory with the human nature.
Yes.
Not just a level of introvertism.
So yeah, pretty much what I mean, like what I'm trying to say here, is that to stay, you know, full isolation from, you know, from society and, you know, and communicating with other human beings. Everyone needs a partner.
Everyone needs someone to communicate with someone. And so because Abraham has isolated himself from his community, which are idol worshippers, God has given him his own family, which is his prize. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so God talks about Jacob and Isaac, but not Ishmael. Ismail.
And see here, there's something important. True, that Ismail is the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. And of course, in some Shia creed and some Shia belief, that even his fathers, you know, had some kind of, you know, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, all the children of Ishaq or Isaac were actually prophets. So that could be the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating only Ishaq in this verse.
Okay, thank you very much for that response, Brother Habib. Let's take a short break and we'll be back after the break for the rest of the discussion.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're talking about verse 49 of chapter 19, chapter Mary. So we're talking about Ismail and Isaac, and you wanted to add something.
Yeah, like how we stated before the break, that the reason that the Quran only specifically states Ishaq here is because after Abraham, the prophecy went on from Jacob, then it went on from Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then it moved on from Yusuf, and then from the grandson of Yaqub, and it kept on going on, right? And that was the prophecy that was well known to Bani Israel at the time, right? And of course, like I was stated, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, the best of prophets, is from as a son and a descending of Nabiullah Ismail.
He's a descendant of Prophet Ismail.
So that might be the reason why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only looking at one side of it. Then, of course, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُم مِّن رَحْمَتِنَا. We have that verse that comes after it. وَهَبْنَا لَهُم مِّن رَحْمَتِنَا. And it could mean that he also put the imamah. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَصْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلَةً كُلًّا جَعَلْنَا الصَّالِحِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. That could mean also that the imamah also continued. And how did it continue from Ismail? So it could be like stating the description of Ismail from with this part of the verse. And even though they know that's kind of far away from, you know, the interpretation.
And it continues on the second part of the verse. It's translated with me, and we gave them out of our mercy and conferred on them a worthy and lofty repute.
See here, with the verse states, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقًا عَلِيَّ. Meaning of lisan is that remembrance. See, when you get abandoned, what happens to you?
You get forgotten.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Nabiullah Ibrahim was abandoned because of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and abandoned the people because of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rewarded him. He is now well known and respected with all monotheists in Judaism, in Christianity, and in Islam. All of them respect Ibrahim. And they believe that he has the tree of monotheism comes from him, and the rest of the prophets are branches of him.
How come the prophets before him, they were all monotheists? How come Abraham gets to become the chief? Because Abraham was the son of previous prophets as well.
Yeah, I know. That's something special with Abraham.
It gives him a special position.
That gives him a special position.
So just to put it in one sentence, Abraham sacrificed everything, and God made up for him. And that's a message for us, that if we sacrifice for God subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can expect him to make up for us one way or another.
Yeah, even if not this world, and the other world.
Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. We have to sign off now. But if you missed the program, you can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of studying Quran, and a lot of Quran studying. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
إن هذا القرآن
is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Luriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Luriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Luriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. But I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Luriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year. In the U.S., creative designers are trying to raise awareness about the environmental issues in a fun and playful way. A climate change-themed mini golf course has recently opened to public in New York City. It consists of 18 holes, each one featuring an environmental problem or a potential solution like habitat loss, energy inefficiency, and emissions. Designed by local artists, the course is made with recycled materials.
Climate change and the environment are such important topics right now and important issues that faces all of us now and will face us in future generations. So by bringing the environmental issues to the forefront in a fun, playful way like mini golf, it really sparks the conversation and helps folks understand the scope of the issue.
Visitors have welcomed the idea, saying it's both entertaining and educational. Organizers say all of the money made from the golf course will go to two local environmental groups. Let's go to Ukraine to meet the world's oldest tennis player, who has been playing the sport for over half a century. Leonid Stanislavski, now 97 years old, has competed in various world championships. When he was a 30-year-old gymnast, he started training tennis three times a week. The Guinness World Record holder is now practicing for the 2021 Super Seniors World Championship, which will be held in Mallorca, Spain. Stanislavski believes that people can play tennis at any age.
It's an elegant type of sport. It's good physical exercise. It is a beautiful game, and there is one more thing about tennis. You can play tennis no matter what age you are.
The world's oldest tennis player revealed his secret to a long life, a combination of good genes and regular sport. His goal is to live to 100 years old and take on prominent tennis player Roger Federer. The old athlete also wishes to make a parachute jump. The largest museum in the world dedicated to the study of space has made its debut in Shanghai, China. Inspired by the orbits of celestial bodies, the The layout of the building has no straight lines or right angles. The museum, designed by New York-based Anid Architects, is intended to create an immersive experience for visitors to engage in a real astronomical phenomenon. For instance, visitors can take a trip into a starry night in the optical planetarium theater.
What we aim to create is a real environment for people to look up to the starry sky. To achieve this goal, we've installed a high-precision planetarium projector at the center of the theater, which can project the sharp spots of stars on the screen with countless optical fibers. The demonstration effects are very vivid.
After moving through the museum's galleries and curved hallways, the final area visitors pass through is the sky space of the inverted dome. The viewing area of the inverted dome is about reducing almost all separation between people and the stars. The opening follows a five-year construction process in the city's Lingang district.
The French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of a hanging bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, he died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. A Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform three surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. The Japanese art collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely against each other. But in the same time, we think it's in the digital and the nature is quite easy to be merged.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind. A animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter and milk, but also served humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 24 goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goat will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male calf was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe after 15 months of waiting. The calf is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Beauval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say
Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keepers say Melman stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance as historic and funny.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to be examining the necessity of prophethood and why is it necessary for God to send the divine revelation to human beings. We said that one of the reasons why this is necessary is that in order for human beings to achieve felicity in this world and in the hereafter, for them to be fulfilled and be happy, is for them to have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of themselves, a knowledge of their purpose in this world. And this is not something that a human being can arrive at simply by using his own faculties, his own powers of reasoning. It's true that reason and the intellect arrives at certain universal conclusions, right, regarding God and the hereafter. However, and about man. However, these universal conclusions are not enough for the felicity of man. Rather, it's also necessary for man to have a knowledge of the particulars and the details of these matters. And because the faculty of reason, if it's not assisted by means of something else, some other faculty which has an ability to understand particular details, it cannot arrive at those details. Therefore, and there is no faculty within man which has the ability to understand these spiritual, the details of these spiritual and these non-materialistic affairs and problems. Therefore, there is a need and there is a need for the assistance of divine revelation. It's possible for somebody to raise the following question here and say that, who said man doesn't have a faculty by means of which he can understand the affairs, the particulars and the details of the affairs about these matters that we've been speaking about? We are of the opinion that a human being is an immaterial being, and we has a connection with the immaterial realm, and if he follow and he has the ability to connect to that world and to understand and actually see these affairs for himself. For example, there was a young person in the time of the Prophet. The Prophet entered the mosque and he saw this person was disturbed. He asked this person. This person said, "It's as if I see the fires of hell. It's as if I see and I hear the lamenting and the screams of the people who are burning in hell." So he had an awareness and a knowledge of these affairs of the hereafter. Right? So who said human beings do not have such a faculty?
within them to understand the details of these affairs. No, they do have it, this faculty, and so there's no need for revelation. We can use this mystic knowledge that a human being has to acquire knowledge of these affairs. The answer to this question is very clear, and that's this: that it's true that human beings have this faculty within themselves, and they can acquire this knowledge, this particular and detailed knowledge about these particular spiritual matters. But this is only when a person travels and acts upon the path of the obedience of God. And this is a path that is only delineated by God himself. A man cannot understand how God wants to be obeyed. It's only something that God can determine for him. So again, there's a need for prophecy. Prophecy comes, revelation comes, and tells us how we are to obey God, how we are to travel the various stages of the obedience and servitude to God till we arrive at his proximity, and we're given that special knowledge. So again, without revelation, we can't have that knowledge. Thank you for joining us here today. We were examining the necessity of prophethood and revelation. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
May Allah bless the soul of the late Ayatollah Araki, who was one of the greatest Shia scholars of Iran. He used to read the poems about this, which are related by Imam Ali alayhi salam. The poem in the Arabic reads in this way:
Ya man bi dunya hushtagal, qad qarrahu tul al amal, al mutu ya'ti baghtatan.
Oh, you who are busy with this world, your long wishes tricked you and made you forget the reality of this. This will arrive all of a sudden, and your grave will change to a box of your deeds. This poem of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which I heard from the late Ayatollah Araki, shows us the importance of remembering death and being prepared for the time of death.
مرگ پیرو جوون نمیشناسه، غافلگیرانه میاد.
Because death happens suddenly, we have to be ready for that time, any moment and second. Of course, for those people who are smart and who have done their duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not be felt as a sudden event. This is because they are always ready for the death, and their grave, which is also their box of deeds, is full of the good records. Therefore, they will not be surprised by the sudden death time. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
midstream.
In May, tensions in occupied Palestine escalated and the Israeli occupation launched yet another deadly war on Gaza. This assault, as well as the threat of expulsion of Palestinians from occupied East Al-Quds and the Israeli raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque during Ramadan, which triggered Palestinian protests, are all just another chapter in the 73-year-old Palestinian Nakba. But these events demonstrate something very important: the failure of the normalization deals, the so-called Abraham Accords, or the deal of the century between four Arab countries and Israel, concluded in 2020. These agreements were heavily advertised as promoting peace in West Asia and reining in Israeli expansionist policies in Palestine. But as anticipated, they have proven to have failed in both. The announcement of the normalization of ties with Israel came laden with promises that it will help bring peace to Palestine, but it stopped the Israeli plan to annex parts of the occupied West Bank and supposedly opened the door to economic development for the entire region. But what has transpired since has proven that these agreements were a mere business transaction steered by former U.S. President Donald Trump, who did all he could to accommodate all of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's whims. The main outcome of the normalization deals is that the UAE is set to become a major trading partner for Israel after it abandoned the decades-old Arab boycott of Israel. Economic relations between Bahrain and Israel are also likely to intensify. Nothing for Sudan and Morocco, though, except the two countries are set to reap the benefits of their own small political wins facilitated by the U.S. easing its sanctions. None of these deals changed the situation on the ground in the region's hot spots, particularly in Palestine, as the events of the past few months demonstrate. Israel continues to be engaged in systematic ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in Gaza, pass state laws that discriminate against non-Jews as they trample over Palestinians' religious rights, and continue to threaten native Palestinians with forced expulsion from their homes. Welcome to the Middle East Stream. I'm Marwa Osman. In the past few months, tensions in Palestine have escalated as the Israeli occupation launched yet another deadly war on Gaza. This aggression, as well as the threat of displacing Palestinian natives from occupied East Al-Quds Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, and the Israeli raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque during Ramadan, which by the way triggered a lot of Palestinian protests, were a demonstration of the failure of the so-called normalization deals, or the deal of the century, between four Arab countries and Israel. These agreements were heavily advertised as promoting peace in the Middle East and reining in Israeli expansionist policies inside of Palestine, but they have proven to have failed in both. To discuss this issue with us from Madrid is Alberto Garcia Watson, journalist and political commentator. Thank you for being with us. Alberto, now the ongoing Israeli aggression against Palestinians demonstrates that the normalization deals have basically just failed between these four Arab states and the Israeli entity. But why were these deals brokered then, if not for peace?
Because actually it was never intended to be for peace. It was actually expected that this last attack on Gaza was going to take place, and there were all the time threatening with Gaza and the resistance groups with a major attack. So, however, this was a kind of distraction campaign to try to keep everyone distracted with the struggle for peace of the Americans and the Israelis. But it was never intended to be. It was never an intention of actually bringing peace to the region. As I said, it was just a distraction. And these countries, unfortunately, went for it. And they went for it because they were also bribed. Because of, in the case of Morocco, it was the sovereignty of Morocco over the Occidental Sahara, which was a territory under the control of the Spaniards. When it comes to Sudan, were also different bribes given to that country, and also Bahrain, and we'll see other countries that will move in too. So it's actually never intended to bring peace to the region, and as I see very clearly, the intention of making out of Palestine a kind of a an autonomous region under the control and the security of Israel will never be accepted by Palestinians.
Well, Alberto, Israel continued after the deals its engagement in Palestinian ethnic cleansing and in bringing out laws that discriminate against whoever is not Jew, and by discriminating also against the religious practices of Palestinians, whether they are Muslims or Christians. They even tried to displace people within the occupied Al-Quds al-Sharif. We have been seeing that since May in the occupied Sheikh al-Jarrah neighborhood. One blockaded, carpet-bombed Gaza was able to stop them, was able to halt the Israeli expansionist plan and their aggression against the occupied territories. Will the sides involved in this deal be able to salvage what is left of it after what happened with Gaza?
What happened with Gaza was an attention that the resistance sent very clear after crossing the red lines that are Haram al-Sharif, the compound of the Al-Aqsa Mosque that was desecrated by settlers and militaries, and the attempt on evacuating the population of Sheikh Jarrah, and what they're doing, for example, now with Sidwan. Resistance made it very clear. There are red lines that Israelis cannot cross, and they learned under this last conflict with Gaza that basically the Israelis can not only have Mahmoud Abbas as a reference to deal with, but they're going to have to deal with the resistance, because everything is pointing at the power that the resistance now has will put Israel in its place. So that's why the deal of the century is never going to get through while the resistance is active, and the resistance has shown that they're going to rule from now on any opposition to the brutal occupation of the Israeli entity.
It was truly interesting, Alberto, to see Israeli far-right groups who feel emboldened by their electoral alliance with the new Prime Minister Bennett, who also stepped up harassment against the Palestinians, if I may. Some of them marched in Jerusalem a couple of weeks back, and they were chanting death to Arabs, and the entire world was watching them. But how do you think the latest Palestinian revolt, whether in Al-Quds or in the occupied West Bank, will maybe further affect the scene inside the Palestinian territories, especially after the assassination of a very prominent activist like Nizar Banat and the arrest of several others?
Well, what we saw that day, the day that the Israelis called the Day of the Flag in Jerusalem, it was not just assassinate and kill the Arabs. There were some groups that even went as far as chanting, tonight we're not Jews, tonight we are Nazis. That far they got. And this provocation that actually was allowed even by the Israeli authorities gave very much the knowledge of what is the mentality of the new government that is basically created by different groups of radicals, especially extreme radical Jews that are in this government, and that are trying to see how far they can get and how far can the Palestinians take it. What happened also with Nizar Banat, the killing of Nizar Banat by the Palestinian National Authority, because of denouncing the collaborationism of Abbas with Israelis, it's putting a lot of Palestinians today in the territories, especially in Jerusalem and the rest of the West Bank, against the president Mahmoud Abbas, that there shouldn't even be a president at this point, because it's already years ago that he should have been out of power.
Well, after the victories, Alberto, of the Al-Quds sword operation, all allied forces of the resistance in the region, going from Beirut to Damascus to Baghdad to Tehran to Sana'a, they all voiced their support and their readiness to engage in order to support and fight back the Zionist entity from Al-Quds al-Sharif. How viable do you think this new equation in reality is?
Well, the new equation, if you let me share a fact with you, is that in the last year, 50,000 Israelis have left Israel. And they have asked for dual citizenship, especially in Europe and the United States and Russia and other countries. because the big dream of the Zionists was actually